church. I read to you this morning in Psalm 11:3, if the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? I've told you that marriage is trying to be destroyed. That's a foundational truth you'll find in the Word of God. I told you this morning that the Word of God is trying to be destroyed. That is a foundational truth found in the Word of God. And tonight I want to tell you that the church is trying to be destroyed, and it's a foundational truth found in the Word of God. When He comes back, He's coming to get His church. Don't be deceived. He's coming to get His church. He's not coming to get nobody else. He's coming to get His church. And tonight, if you want to know why you're going through so much in these end days and these end times, and you want to know why you're persecuted on every corner, and you want to know why there's a beating and there's confusion and there's division and everything in the world is coming against you, I'm going to show you tonight why that's happening to the local body church according to Scripture tonight. To the real local body church, persecution is going to come. If you're truly saved, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, and you make a stand, it's going to come against you. And the reason be is because of who, not who you are, but whose you are. Amen. Matthew chapter number 16, I ask you to stand. We're going to read tonight, verse number 13. Read a few verses, preach a little bit, and then go pray. Amen. Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 13. And here's what the Bible says. And when Jesus, Matthew 16, 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and other Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not on Peter now, not on Peter, this is the beginning of the church, not on Peter, but on Christ Jesus. That thou art Peter, and upon this rock, what rock? What He had told about, saying that Jesus was the Son of God. That rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever shall be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Let us pray. Father, we love You and we thank You for this night, Lord. We thank You for Abby Jo and her mother Monica, Lord God. We thank You for them tonight, Lord God. We thank You for the sweet Holy Ghost that's in this place. Lord, I pray tonight that You bless this church. Lord, I pray this church never lift up no member, never lift up no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, we got one name we want to lift up, and that's the name of Jesus. We want to love on each other, but we don't want to lift nobody higher than another, Father. Lord God, we want to come in one accord, one mind, one spirit, and lift up the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for the next few moments that You guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let me not say nothing that is contrary to Your word, but what is correct and what is straight and what's from heaven. Father, I know right now that Your congregation here has been under attack. We've seen a lot go on, but tonight we're under attack because we're standing against the wiles of the devil. Father, we're calling out sin. We're calling out what's wrong. We're preaching against things of this world. And Lord God, we are hooked up in unity tonight, Father. And oh, Satan don't like it. And he's looking for the weakest link. He's looking for that wink that is weak that he can get a hold of and he can break down. And if he can get that weakest link, the whole chain will break. But Father God, tonight I pray I be not that weak link. Lord God, I pray I stay strong in Your word, strong in Your grace, strong in Your prayer, strong in Your mercy, strong in the Holy Ghost tonight. Lord God, have Your will and will tonight. Have Your way in this place. Do what You want to do. Anoint somebody tonight. Give them a fresh anointing. In the name of Jesus, we ask and pray, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. As we come tonight and we look at the church here, Jesus told Peter that upon this rock He would build His church. That rock was Jesus Christ Himself. He also made a promise that the gates of hell shall not prevail. Now, He didn't say the gates of hell would not beat upon you, but He said the gates of hell would not prevail. I want you to know tonight, that's a blessing in my life, knowing that even though everything old Satan's throwing at me, it won't come over me. Amen. The church is a foundational truth that is trying to be destroyed. The church must be respected. You must respect the local body church. It must be reverence and it must be honored tonight. And you say, preacher, what's the big deal of honoring and reverence and respecting the local body church and each other as members? You know, this building here, this is not the church. That building over there is not the church. You are the church. You that are saved and baptized and washed in the blood of Jesus, you are the church tonight. You are the local body church tonight that is standing against the wiles of the devil. Hey, did you know tonight that you may be the only defense that your kids has got tonight when you pray and you're praying God to move and you're praying God to help your family. What a defense you've got tonight in the name of Jesus. And you say, preacher, why is all everything coming against us? Why is everything coming against me? I want to give you five reasons tonight, if you're a child of God, that the old devil is coming against you. Number one tonight, I want you to look at this. He said that the gates of hell shall not prevail, but they will come against you because the church is purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Satan doesn't like the blood. He doesn't like the bloodline. He doesn't like saved people. He doesn't like people in unity. He doesn't like people loving on one another. He doesn't like people getting the right hand of Christian fellowship. He doesn't like for us to be in unity. He doesn't like that. If he can destroy this place, he'll destroy it at any cost. It doesn't matter who he takes down. He'll take them down and try to destroy it. And tonight you say, why is that, preacher? And I believe this with all my heart. Number one, it's because this local body church and other churches around all over the United States of America and the world, the ones that are preaching that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, they are under attack tonight. The old-timey way is under attack. The old King James Bible is under attack. The old Holy Ghost meetings are under attack. Why? Because they want a feel-good sermon. They want a preacher to get up and tell them, if you just be a good old boy, you're going to go to heaven. I stand and tell you tonight, except your sins be washed away, you will miss heaven tonight. You must be saved by the blood of Jesus. It's the blood that saved the church. In Acts chapter number 20, look with me there. Acts chapter number 20 tonight and verse number 28. I want to show you what I'm talking about. You say, preacher, do you believe that's why we're under attack? Brother Riley Cagle, I believe it 100%. We're under attack because the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus purchased the church. He bought it with his own blood. That's why we're under attack tonight. And that's why that foundational truth is wanting to be destroyed. Look with me tonight, if you will, in Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 28. Do you know how many church buildings are empty tonight? Do you know how many churches that's canceled tonight? They thought it would be a better idea to stay home and take it easy. They thought it'd be a better idea to freshen up and be ready for church. Ready for work on Monday. Even though they run Friday and Saturday wide open as they can, they thought Sunday night would be a good night to lay out and lay up. Friends, can I say to you tonight, the thief cometh, amen. He come to kill, steal, and destroy. Don't you lay up tonight. Don't you lay up tonight. You make sure you stand strong on that blood of Jesus. Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 28. He said, take heed therefore unto yourselves. He said, I'm warning you, take heed to yourself. Understand what's going on. This attack is spiritual tonight. It's not flesh and blood, but it's spiritual tonight. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. He said, you don't know why you're under attack? It's because you've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. When you didn't want to follow God, you didn't want to be saved, you didn't want nothing to do with him, no devil didn't care about you. He wasn't worried about you because he had you. But when you got saved and your eyes has been enlightened and you know that there's a battle going on now, you know why? Because Satan wants you to be aware of it. I see tonight that the church is under attack because it's been purchased by the blood of Jesus. But let me show you number two tonight. If you're under attack in your life, turn with me to Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 14 tonight. I want to show you this. If you're being attacked tonight, you count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations. Amen? You count it all joy when it comes your way. Number one, it's because the church was purchased by the blood of Jesus. But number two, you're under attack because you are the light of the world. You keep living in darkness, there won't be no attack come. You keep living in darkness, just being an old sorry person, lie everywhere you go, cheat, steal your way through life. There won't be no darkness, there won't be no light, won't be no problem. But as soon as you try to do what's right and you try to do what God's called you to do and you try to be that light of the world, I want you to know persecution's going to come, pain's going to come, problems going to come, and it's going to come at every corner, and it's going to come at the church. It's going to come at you, and it's going to come at me. Preacher, what do I do? I wished I had good news for you. The only thing I know what to do is just keep standing. All I know, hey, I done made up my mind, Brother Eric. I'm done too far in now to turn back now. Hey, I'm done too sold in now to turn back now. I'm done too invested now to give up now. Man, I want to see the finish line, don't you? Look what he says in Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 14. Here's what the Bible says. Ye, who's that? The church. Ye are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And when you let your light shine, attack is coming. Hindrances are coming. They're going to try to destroy you. Ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Tonight, if you're a child of God and you're born again and you're washed in the blood tonight, you can't hide out. you're going to stick out. If you didn't want to stick out, you shouldn't have got saved. If you want to try to run with the boys and act like everybody else and do what everybody else does, you're going to be miserable the rest of your life. A child of God's going to be miserable the rest of their life. Why? Because the church is under attack, and you are the light of the world, and I am the light of the world. He said, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. You're going to shine wherever you go for Jesus, and that's the purpose of the church. Number one, I see we're under attack because we've been bought by the blood of Jesus. Number two, we're under attack because we are the light of the world. We're the only the light that they see. God shines through us. But number three, I want to give you this, the church, you and me, we are the salt of the earth. We are the salt of the earth. Say, preacher, what does salt do? Well, number one, salt preserves. It preserves. Do you know why he's not come back yet? Because he ain't come to get his church. He's waiting on that last Gentile to be born again, that last one that's going to be called, that's going to be born again, and when that happens, it's over with. He's coming to get his church. He's coming to get his children. He's coming to get his family. We're rapturing out of this place. We're getting out of here. We're gone. I'm taking the first trip out, Brother Jake. I'm not waiting on the second one. I'm not waiting on the third one. There's only one, and I'm going out on the first one. I've done heard about grace. I've done heard about mercy. You say, preacher, I've heard about grace, and I'm just going to wait, and I'll get saved during the tribulation period. If you're sitting on these pews tonight, you say, I'll get saved then, and you've heard of the good grace of God. You can't get saved during then. He said he'll turn you over to strong delusions, and you'll believe a lie instead of believing the truth. God himself will do that. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, he said he'll turn you over to strong delusions. So the church is the light of the world, but the church is also the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth, it preserves, it seasons, and it prevents waste. That's what the salt does. It prevents waste. Look with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 5 and verse 13. I want to show you this. He said, preacher, are you sure I'm the salt? You are the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, where shall it be salted? Is it thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men? Tonight, this church, I believe so much. We're not the only church, but we're his church. Not every church that has a steeple on it is a church. You go into a church and they're nothing but fighting and fussing and division, and this side won't speak to that side, and that side won't speak to that side, and nobody can't get along. That ain't a church. Listen to me. Don't get quiet on me now. That ain't no church. That ain't no church. But the Bible says he's not the author of confusion. He wants everything done decently in order. He don't cause confusion. And tonight, we are the salt. We're the light. And when somebody walks in this place like Abby Jo, she ought to see the love of God. She ought to hear a preacher that'll rear back and preach and not be scared who's sitting out there. But he's preaching, thus saith the word of God. And he's telling you the truth, and it's going to help you one day down the road. I don't know about you, but I told my wife a while ago, I don't know how long I'll be at this. Whenever the Lord calls me home, I'll go, Brother Austin. Amen. But I do know this, my grandkids and my daughter and growing up, I want them to find them a man of God when I'm gone that'll stand back with an old King James Bible and preach it truth and not back up, not one skinny minute. Don't care who's sitting out there or what they got in their pocket or what they got in their bank account. All he knows is there's a God in heaven that loved him, and one day he was dying and going to hell, and he reached down and saved him and bought him by the blood of Jesus Christ, put a light in his life and put salt in his heart, and he goes out and telling people about Jesus. That's what I want my kids to see. That's what I want them to see. I don't want them to have to tell me, Daddy, it's church time. I don't want them to tell me, Daddy, are we going to church? That will not even be a conversation in our home. Why? Because I am the church. If he comes looking for his church, I want him to be able to find me. Oh, glory to God. I don't know about y'all, but man, Abby Jo got saved a while ago. I'm just excited. Amen. I want her to know what a true church is about. I want her to know she was bought by the blood of Jesus. I want her to know that smile on your face, it don't have to be wiped off, little girl. It don't have to be wiped off, little sister. Don't you let the cares of this world wipe that smile off your face. What he's done now, he's going to keep it to the day of salvation. Don't you let him wipe that off your face. I want her to know she's the light of the world. I want her to know she is the salt. Man, she's the salt. Man, when she gets in school and they start saying, oh no, because my preacher said that the book said that I am the light of the world. Because Jesus is living inside of me. I seen all the light and the salt. But let me give you this. He said we're bought with the blood, we're the light, we're the salt. But the church, you and me, is the dwelling place. Number three, if you're taking notes. Number four, I mean, the church is the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost in a believer. So the Holy Ghost dwells in the church. The Holy Ghost don't dwell in a lost person. It don't. The Holy Ghost dwells in a saved person. As soon as you ask Jesus to save you, that Holy Ghost comes in. He starts kicking things out. He starts taking over, if you will. Completely over. And anything in there he don't like, he just starts, when you ask him to save you, and you start confessing them sin, you know what he does? He starts removing them things. Lord, I don't want this no more in my life. You know, he says, okay, you got to go. You got to, he starts throwing them out. And what you thought couldn't be broke in your life, I'm sorry about the spit, what you thought couldn't be broke in your life because you couldn't, the Holy Ghost starts throwing it out. And then you're 3 years down the road and you look back and you're like, oh, how'd that happen? Well, it wasn't in your strength, it was in his. Because why? Because he comes down and he takes his abode inside of you. He doesn't rest on you. We pray so many times, you hear me pray and other people pray, Lord, just send the Holy Ghost, let him just come down on us. I don't want him on me. I want him to reside in me. I want him in me. I want him in, and that's where he's at. That's where he lives. It's the dwelling place. The church is the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost. Why do you feel the Spirit so strong in here when we come to church and we're in unity? Because if you're saved, raise your hand. Look at all these hands. Okay? He come with you. You didn't get a choice to bring him or not. If you're saved, you didn't get a choice. When he moved inside of you, he come to church with you today. What you looking at your phone, he's there with you, watching you on your, he's there with you, he walks with you and talks with you a long life's way. It's the dwelling of the Holy Ghost. You ever been in church and you thought, nobody knows what's going on? And all of a sudden a song will be sung and they'll be like, uh-oh. The word will be preached, a prayer will be prayed. Something, why is that? That's the kindred spirit that's in this place. That's the Holy Ghost. Let me show you this tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. If you have your Bibles tonight, I want to show you this. It's the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 tonight in verse number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 16 tonight. You say, I'm saved, Brother BJ. Did I get all the Holy Ghost? You got every bit of the Holy Ghost when you got saved. Now, here's the only problem with that is, did the Holy Ghost get all of you? Now, you got all the Holy Ghost. He come in and took up residency in your life. He can't come in a quarter. He can't come in a half. He comes in whole. But the problem is that you got all of him. Did he get all of you? And that's when he starts separating them chambers of that heart and starts weeding out stuff that don't need to be there. And he said, this is my house and I've got to live in it. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse 16. Here's what Paul told the church at Corinthians. Know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? You're the temple of God and he dwells in you. Turn with me just right on over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 16 tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 16 tonight. And here's what he said. Here's what he said. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 16. And what agreement had the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You know why you're under attack? Because you're the church. This Holy Ghost is dwelling inside of you, and Satan's trying to attack the Holy Ghost. He's wanting to war with you. And a lot of times what we'll do is Christians will bow down and let the enemy win. You've got no time to bow down. Get your sword up. Get your book up. You ain't got time to cower down. You got grandbabies. You got kids. You got husbands. You got wives. You got people that need you. And it's time to be the church. Look, he said. He said, I will be their God and they shall be my people. I love verse 17. Here's what he said. He said, so I want you, or he said, wherefore come out from among them. From who? From the infidels. From those that don't believe. Them fake people. The people that don't believe. Churches are full of them. Let me say it again. Churches are full of them. Let me say it again. This church might get full of them, but I pray they all get saved. I pray I got enough light. Oh, glory to God. Glory. I pray I got enough Jesus in me. I pray I got enough light in me. I pray I got enough salt in me. I pray the Holy Ghost is living in me enough, Brother Jay, and they won't be able to stay around me without getting saved. I'm going to speak Jesus to them. I'm going to talk Jesus to them. Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Yeah, that's the problem now. Well, preacher, you just don't understand. I got a house full of them. I know. Preacher, you just don't. Just listen, folks. Their eternity's riding on it. I've said it one time and I'll say it again. I'm not worried about their feelings. I'm worried about their future. May I tell what happened while I go in that room, sister? Yeah, may I tell? If you don't want me to, you tell me that. I'll back up. I said, preacher, you need to get along with everybody in church. I love everybody here. You ain't going to find nobody love you more than I do. You don't go eat a hamburger, call me. I'll go eat one with you. You ain't going to find nobody. Hey, you ain't going to find nobody. Hey, well, your wife loves you more. I know that. But you know what I'm saying. I mean, as a preacher, I'm going to love you, son. But I'm going to be truthful with you. I'm not your buddy. I'm your pastor. I'm not your buddy. I'm not one of the boys. I'm your pastor. This morning, they want to be members of the church. And I told her, I said, let's talk this evening about 4:40. Let's talk. She said, okay. We got in the room, talked with the mom. Man, she's just happy, smiling, been saved, been baptized, lined up with everything, ready to go. And all the way back down through, I carry two billfolds, not because of money. y'all think I lie to y'all? I got this. That's when you ain't got no money and you slide them things, okay? And then I got this. Miss Chris Cantrell, maybe my witnessing cards. Every time somebody gets saved, put that on your account too. Put that little chink in your little armor right there, sister. Every time I share the gospel with somebody through that card, plan of salvation on the back. I got walking down that hall, and I pulled it out, and I said, I don't know what's going on, but God, you do. I stuck that billfold back in the pocket, had it in my hand, I was twiddling that thing. Walked in the room, the mom answered the questions that was asked, and I looked over at Abby Jo. And I said, Abby Jo, you want to join the church? Abby Jo said, yeah, I want to join the church. I said, Abby Jo, you ever been saved? And boy, we went from, yeah, I want to join the church, to serious business. Business picked up. See, the problem we got, we don't ask people, do you know Jesus? I said, Abby Jo, do you know Jesus? Have you been saved, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus? Abby Jo said, no, I haven't. I said, Abby Jo, has the Holy Ghost been beating on your heart? Has the Holy Ghost been beating you like crazy? Yes, sir. I said, Abby Jo, come on over here where I'm at. Sit down right here. I want to talk to you for a minute, huh? She come over and we pulled that chair up there. My wife, her mom, little sister's in the room. And I take this card and I said, Abby Jo, I want to show you something. If that spirit drawing, you can be saved in this room. I'm not going to complicate it. I said, you play volleyball, don't you? She said, yeah. I said, you didn't know how to play volleyball. All you want to do is be a member. All you want to do is sign up. All you want to do is be on the team. I said, being a Christian, you ain't got to know everything. You ain't got to know every Bible verse there is. All you got to do is say, I want to be on the team. Sign me up. I want to be born again. I want to be washed in the blood. I want that. I said, hun, is that what you want? She said, yes. Old tears started wanting to come down that eye. And I said, hey, listen to me. Let's talk just a minute. Got talking to her there, and I poured out this card, and this is what it said. Do you have a place in heaven? So I want to make sure she was washing the blood of Jesus when we left that room. She's going to have to be a light in this world. She's going to have to be a light. She's going to have to be salt, and the Holy Ghost is going to live inside of her. Now here's what it says. Do you have a place in heaven? You must, number one, you must realize you're a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number two, sin carries a penalty. For the wages of sin is death. Number three, our sin debt's taken care of by Jesus, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9 tell us what we must do, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13 tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, Abby Jo, you believe that? She said, I believe that. I said, you believe Jesus died on that cross for your sin? I believe that. I said, you believe he rose again on the third day? I believe that. So she asked Jesus to come into her heart. Holy Ghost met us right there in that room. And I'm telling you what, that young lady gave her life to Jesus in that room. You said, preacher, why did you go down that road? Because I want her to know that she is part of the church now. She's part of the body of Christ now. I don't want nobody to walk out of here with, maybe I am, maybe I'm not, don't know. Salvation ain't something that you might know. Salvation is something that you know. And my last point, I want to give you this. Now go there to go here, and God knew you tonight you was going to get saved. He knew. He knew he was going to draw on your heart tonight. He knew. He knows what we don't know. Thank God. He works when we don't know he's working. Didn't catch him off guard, by the way. I told you tonight you're under attack, number one, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Number two is because you're the light of the world. Number three, you're the salt. Number four is because the Holy Ghost lives inside of you. Let me tell you another reason you're under attack. Because number five, if you're saved, you are the bride of Christ. And if there's one thing Satan wants, and he's wanting to get you away, he's wanting to take the bride away. He doesn't want the bride to be what he that what the church ought to be. He wants the church to have no strength, no authority, not be able to command nothing down. He said, what you bind in heaven shall be bound in earth. What you loose in heaven shall be loose. He don't want you to have that authority. He don't want you to have that. He don't want your brother Corey to come out of that hospital. He don't want that. By the blood of Jesus Christ, he's coming out. Amen. He don't want that in people's lives. He don't want you to be able to call stuff out and say, by the name of Jesus. Why? Because he don't want you to have no authority in the name of Jesus. But tonight, if you're the bride of Christ, you have authority. My wife is my bride. She has all the authority in my life. Everything I got is hers. What's hers is mine. Amen. Or however how that goes. You say, preacher, do you believe that? I believe that. And I believe this church is being attacked, number one, because we are the bride of Christ. You're trying your best to live the way God's called you to live. You're trying your best to come out from among them and be separate. I want to show you this tonight as we close. Look with me, if you will, in Ephesians chapter number 5 tonight. It's because you are the bride of Christ, and the bride of Christ is precious to the Lord. It's precious tonight. Do I got any husbands in here that thinks their wives are precious? Do I got any husbands in here that think their wives are precious? Brother Lee, Sister Denise, precious to you. Lay your life down for. Brother David, lay your life down for D-Lo, wouldn't you? You would. You would. I know some more men in here the same way. Can I say to you that Jesus laid his life down for you? Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That's what I told you this morning. The word's important in your life. If anything else in the ministry is more important to you than the word, you're out of kilter. You're out of focus. You need to get lined back up with the word. The word's the most important thing in your life. Jesus said in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. Who is that word? Jesus. That's right. Man. Why? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might. Here's why he wants to sanctify and cleanse it and wash it by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I want to share this with you before we go. We all are undone. Would you agree? We all have blow-ups. We just do. But there's something perfect in your life. You say, preacher, I'm not perfect. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You're almost right, but you're not completely right. That's what Satan wants you to know. But there's something in your life that is perfect, without spot, without blemish, and without wrinkle. I've asked every one of these ladies I do marriage counseling with, I ask them this before we go through with it. I say, on your wedding day, and you got on that white dress, yeah. I said, are you going to go to Sonic and get you a foot-long chili cheese dog and come back to the church and eat it right before you walk through the door? Well, no, I might spill it on my... What now? I might spill it on my dress and it would have spot and it would have some... I said, are you going to throw it in the back of the car and bring it out and it'd be all wrinkled up on your wedding day? Well, no. No. Without spot. Without blemish. Without wrinkle. There's something perfect in your life and I want you to know it. That is your salvation. It's perfect. He didn't halfway save you. He didn't partially save you. He saved you. And the Holy Ghost lives inside of you that knows no sin, that leads you. He said, I'm going to send you. He'll be the comforter. So tonight, when you think, man, I'm under attack, I don't know how much I can handle, just remember this. You're under attack, number one, because you're living the right way. You are the church. You are the body of Christ. You've been purchased by the blood. You are the light that the dark world is seeing. You are the salt that's giving a little bit of flavor to an unflavored world. The Holy Ghost is living inside of you, and you are the bride of Christ. And I don't know about you, But when he comes to get me, I'm thankful that my salvation will be without spot, without wrinkle, come on, and without a blemish. Not me. Now I live, hey, I try to do my best, but I don't always do right. But my salvation is secure in the blood of Jesus Christ. By his stripes, we're healed. This afternoon, I just want you to know that. That has been on my heart so heavy. This past couple weeks, we've seen deaths. We've seen heart attacks. Man, we've seen so much in this local body. We've seen Jason in Huntsville. I mean, it's just something. And there's some things that just need to be bound down. Take authority back, because we are the church. We are the church. And I want you to know that tonight. You stick in that word. You stick with that book. He's going to do exactly what he needs to do in your life. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go back, go out to the left. We're going to circle. I know it's chilly. I'll call on somebody that's not long-winded to pray. Come on. Y'all know what? I can't stand a long-winded preacher. I can't. One that goes 2 hours, it wears me out, son. I can't handle